Man, you talking about, you know, we heard that song, Grace Like Rain? You talking about some grace that was being showed in this Torah to the Egyptians and even to Israel, to his people. Because in verse 1, starting with verse 1, how he says, verse 2, and going to verse 3, it says, Elohim spoke to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as Elohim Almighty. But by my name, Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them. And I was like, well, why? Why didn't he make his name known to them? Why he waited till Moses come along before he made his name known to them? And we, if seeing Joshua 24:15, he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve Yahweh, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the mighty ones which your forefathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the mighty ones of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. So I'm like, okay, the mighty ones. And when I started digging in, is because they were in the closest contact. They was getting in contact with polytheism, is what it was. And in many cases themselves, they was getting close to us. So God was warning them right there. That's the first sign of grace. And polytheism is a belief of many gods. They was worshiping other gods, which they worshiped Pharaoh. The Egyptians worshiped Pharaoh. So he was warning them, right? That's why he says that I'm going to establish, put my name Yahweh. He wanted them to know, hold on, back up. I'm Yahweh. The monotheism. I'm the only true God, not Pharaoh. So he was warning them because they was close to that. They was getting close to that polytheism. He wanted them to know that he's the existent, the self-existent, and the only existent. And in Deuteronomy 4:39, it says, know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that Yahweh is Elohim in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. And whatever he said that he was going to do, he did it. He said Yahweh said he was going to do it, and he performed it. He let them know. He wanted them to know that it was him. He's the God of the earth. It says God promised Moses that he will accomplish four redemptive acts in which he would bring out. And we see that in verse 6, starting with verse 6. He says, say therefore to the people of Israel, I am Yahweh. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from the slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with the great acts of judgment. And I will take you to be my people and to be your Elohim. And you shall know that I am Yahweh your Elohim, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. That was four redemptive acts that he was showing them right there, that he was going to rescue them and take them out, redeem them, and bring them out. When God speaks a word, it will be done as he has said, despite how circumstances appear in the natural. You know, when we started, last Torah was, you know, was names. That was the title of it, names. And this week here, we bust out with from the very first jump in this Torah, he was proclaiming who he is. He wanted them to know his name to all of them. And I thought that was so important because, you know, Brother Scott mentioned that last week, how important names was. And I tell you what, this name right here, Yahweh, so important, so very important. Still, you know, and still, Moses, I can understand where he was coming from. How he was scared. I'm slow to speak. I'm slow to learn. I can't talk good. But God said, okay, I'm going to show grace to you. I'm going to take your brother Aaron with you. He's going to be your spokesperson. I'm going to tell you, you're going to tell him, and we're going to get this rolling. But I can understand how he was. Because I was in that spot. I mean, up to 4 or 5 years ago, this wasn't me right here. And I took off the other way fast when, you know, I felt the drawing of to speak. That was my excuse. I used that same excuse. I can't speak. I'm slow to learn. I can't talk that good. But hey, God don't make no mistakes when he calls. When he calls, he's going to give you the tools to do what he needs you to do. Still, we live in a fallen world. Many of us suffer from spiritual morphia. It's a short-sightedness caused by focusing on our own suffering and loss. You know, we get caught up with what's going on around us. And that's what they got. That's what the Israelites did. They was caught up in what was going on around them. They was distracted. They was putting more and more weight on them work-wise. And it's just they couldn't focus. They couldn't focus on who God really was to them. And that's part of his grace that he's showing them too. When he started with them plagues, he wanted them to see. He wanted them to see that, hey, I know y'all living where y'all living at. And Pharaoh's got y'all starting to think crazy a little bit. But hold on. Let me show you who I am. Let me show you what I'm about. The Israelites were no different. They were so downtrodden and grieved in spirit that they simply could not believe what Moses said the Lord would do for them. They couldn't even listen to his words of hope. And he said that. In chapter 6, in verse 10, starting verse 10, he says, so Yahweh said to Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the people of Israel go out of this land. But Moses said to Yahweh, behold, the people of Israel have not listened to me. How then shall Pharaoh listen to me? For I am of uncircumcised lips. But Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a charge about the people of Israel and about Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. That's what he says. He says, how am I going to get Pharaoh to listen to you when our own people ain't trying to hear us? They can't grab hold of what I'm saying. How Pharaoh's going to listen? How he's going to say, okay, I'm going to let him go. Go worship your God. And he never did nothing without a warning. He always gave them a warning before he did it. He warned them time and time and time again. He says in chapter 7, and Yahweh said to Moses, see, I made you like Elohim to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of this land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my host, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them. Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as Yahweh commanded them. He said he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart, meaning that he was, hey, okay, Pharaoh, I'm going to step back and let you do what you want to do. I'm warning you, but apparently you can't seem to grab hold of it. So I'm just going to step back a little bit. I'm going to take my hand from over your life, and I'm going to let you do what you want to do. I'm so thankful that when my heart was hardened, he didn't step too far back from me. He stood close because the word was the enemy sought to destroy your very life. And I think about all that when I was doing this study like that. Because if he sought to destroy my very life, if you was far enough back from me, that would have happened. I wouldn't be here today to spread this good news. So that's exciting to me, and I can relate to what when he stepped back. I'm just so glad that he didn't step that far back from me. I'm glad he was right there. Right there. Probably still held his hand. Just, I'm going to let you do a little bit. I'm not going to let you go too far away from it or too crazy, because you're going to find yourself in a world of trouble. So as we go down to, in chapter 7, we get to the first sign that told him to bring his staff. And he cast it down in front of him, and he's turned into a serpent. Well, Pharaoh calls his majesties, his magicians over there. They do the same thing. So it wasn't no big thing. They seen that. They got the power to do the little serpent thing too. But his serpent gobbled up all these serpents. But Pharaoh still had his heart hardened. So did all his servants. That didn't make no difference to him. Went down to the first plague. And he said, meet him by the water. And that source of that water, it wasn't like the Israelites. They didn't rely on the rain from heaven for water. That was their source, the Nile. The Nile was their source. So when they struck that, when he did that, it still didn't matter, because they did this. They can do the same exact thing. Their magicians, they little sorcerers, whoever they were, they did the same thing. So it didn't matter to Pharaoh about the first plague. Then we see he went down to the second plague, was the frogs. And we can start in verse 4. It says, the frogs shall come up on you and all your people and all your servants. And Yahweh said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the canals, and over the pools, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. But the magicians did the same by their secret arts, made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So we've seen that the frog, they did the same thing with the frog, the blood, and the staff as they threw it down. But then we get to the third plague. Then they realize something. It says in verse 16, then Yahweh said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth so that it may become gnats, which is lice, in all the land of Egypt. And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand and his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beasts. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, okay, boss, we got a problem right here. He said, the blood we can do. The staff we can do with the serpent. He said, but this lice, we can't do this. This is the finger of Elohim. The finger. This is just a finger. Okay, hold on. This is just a finger. It's about to get worse. Then we go to the flies. He says, rise up early in the morning, present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, thus says Yahweh, let my people go. Another warning. Thus says Yahweh. Some more grace. He's just pouring grace out now. I mean, grace is just falling from the sky. Abundance and abundance of grace. Let my people go. Behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on the day I will set apart the land of Goshen. Okay, now we're about to see a distinction right here. He said, okay, y'all going to know the difference between my people and Pharaoh's people. Because my people that's dwelling in Goshen right now, y'all about to see it's going to be a distinction. Nothing's going to happen to them. Where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there. That you may know that I am Yahweh. I am that monotheism. Not that polytheism that y'all done got yourself squirrely thinking about. I am Yahweh in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. And again, when God speaks a word, it shall be done, as he said. Tomorrow, this sign shall happen. And Yahweh did so. There came great swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and unto his servants' houses throughout the land of Egypt. The land was ruined by the swarms of flies. You know, then, you know, Pharaoh, he's conniving. He wants to work out a deal. Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to let y'all go. Call Moses and Aaron in there. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go to sacrifice to Yahweh your Elohim in the wilderness. Only you must not go very far away. Plead for me. Plead for me. You know, you think about these non-believers. So that's in a nice way. You know, they want to send you a prayer emoji or whatever on Facebook. They plead for me. It's the first thing they want to do. But yet they want to criticize you when you don't want to take part in their pagan holidays no more. But yet you want me to, who you want me to plead to you for, to? Well, of course, my Yahweh, grace, and us, we got to. You know, that's part about being that light and salt. Okay, I'm going to plead for you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to believe for your healing. I'm going to believe for your finances. Whatever it is you're asking me to plead for, I'm going to plead to Yahweh for you. That's what Pharaoh's doing right here. Plead to Yahweh for me. And Moses did. And Yahweh did as Moses. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and prayed to Yahweh. And Yahweh did as Moses asked and removed the swarm of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained, but Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also and did not let the people go. You talking about we're serving an awesome, awesome, awesome God that works on our behalf for other people. He's so good to us and so good to them, and they don't even see it. They're so blinded. They're so caught up and so distracted that they don't even realize, just like Pharaoh, don't realize. So he said, we're going down to this fifth plague. Every livestock going to die. Then Yahweh said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and say to him, thus says Yahweh, the Elohim of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of Yahweh will fall with a very severe plague. Okay, now we've seen it was the finger. That we had some lice. We gave you some lice. Now he's telling you that the hand of Yahweh is going to fall. And now we're starting to see some livestock dying. Now, he says, but Yahweh will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing at all that belongs to the people of Israel shall die. Same thing he does for us today. It's a distinction for us that's going to serve him, that's going to trust him, believe in him. No matter what's going on around us, we know one thing. Father is you. Only you. And that's the distinction. That's the distinction we need to be. That's the distinction we need to be. And Yahweh set a time saying, tomorrow, Yahweh will do this thing in the land. And the next day, Yahweh did this thing. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one. Not one. How powerful is that? Not one of the livestock of the people of Israel died. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, not one of the livestock of Israel was dead, but the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. So here we come to some six plagues, and now it's getting interesting, real interesting. And now we see not only grace for Israel, but we see the grace for the Egyptians. He says, and Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron, take hands full of soot from the kiln and let Moses throw them in the air in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become fine dust over all the land of Egypt. So they took soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses threw it in the air, and it became balls breaking out in the sores of man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boils came upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. But Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not listen to them, as Yahweh had spoken to Moses. There he goes, hardened that heart. Okay, Pharaoh, I'm stepping back again. But here I'm going to give you another warning. Hail. Can you imagine? How can hail and rain, how can hail and fire mix? Water distinguishes it all the time. But yet, when Yahweh is sending it, the power, that's power. I'm going to show you some power right here. I'm going to send hail and fire. Rise up early in the morning, present yourself before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says Yahweh, the Elohim of the Hebrews, another warning, let my people go, that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you yourself and on your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. For by now I could have put out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you have been cut off from the earth. I would have wiped you out, is what he's telling us. I could have been done that. But because I am Yahweh and who I am, my many attributes, one of my many attributes, my grace, I'm gonna try my patience. I'm being patient with you, Pharaoh. I'm being patient with you. Behold, about this time tomorrow, I will cause very heavy hail to fall such as never has been in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Now, therefore, send, get your livestock and all that you have in the field into safe shelter. For every man and beast that is in the field and is not brought home will die when the hail falls on them. Okay, so then whoever feared the word of Yahweh among the servants of Pharaoh hurried his slaves and his livestock into his house. I think some of them probably done caught on right quick. All right, look at here. All right, Pharaoh. I know you've been years training me, manipulating me, saying that you this God, you the God. But what I'm seeing with Moses and Aaron is telling you, time here we are on the seventh plague. I don't think I want to lose no more livestock. I don't think I don't want no more of my servants to die. I'm going to take my slaves and my livestock into these houses so that he can spare our lives. But whoever did not pay attention to the word of Yahweh left his slaves and his livestock in the field. Then Yahweh said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven so that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man and beast and on every plant of the field in the land of Egypt. Moses stretched out his staff toward heaven. Stretched out his staff. Notice. They staff couldn't, they wasn't bringing no hail and fire down with their staff. Stretch out your staff toward heaven, and Yahweh sent thunder and hail and fire ran down to the earth. And Yahweh rained hail upon the land of Egypt. There was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail. Very heavy hail, such as had never been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. You can imagine when we get hail down here, it breaks a windshield on your car. It gets golf ball size. You can imagine the size hail he's raining down right here that's killing them if they left outside in the livestock. The hail struck down everything that was in the field and in all the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And the hail struck down every plant of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel was, there no hail. Wow. That's where I would want to be. I would have wanted to been in Goshen. I wouldn't want to be dealing with Pharaoh. Quack would have done had me and my family dead. Dead. I don't think it would have took me long. Well, I say that. It took me 10, 11 years of running ridiculous out of my mind before I came to my senses and realized that it was because of him that I'm alive. It's his breath that's in my lungs, you know, and I can't do it without you. So, but I don't know. I guess, man, when you're seeing plagues and, oh, man, I don't think it would have took me long. I really don't. Then Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said to them, this time I have sinned. Yahweh is in the right. And I and my people are in the wrong. Plead with Yahweh, for there has been enough, enough of Elohim's thunder and hail. Oh, now he sees that there's this thunder and hail is Elohim's. And I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. He's like Hasatan. He lies. He manipulates these people. Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will stretch out my hands to Yahweh. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, so that you may know that the earth is Yahweh's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear Elohim. The flax and the barley were struck down, for the barley was in the ear and the flax was in the bud. And that's you can really get in the deep when you start talking about the flax and the barley. And the wheat and the emmer were not struck down, but they are late in the coming up. So Moses went out of the city with Pharaoh, from Pharaoh, and stretched out his hands to Yahweh, and the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain no longer poured upon the earth. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. He did not let the people of Israel go, just as Yahweh has spoken through Moses. And I can't wait for next week, Torah, so I can continue the reading. And because, you know, 8, 9, and 10, we know 10 was very, very destructive to Pharaoh. The tendency in human nature should remind us to be patient and merciful. Even today, there are those whose bondage is so cruel and whose spirit is so broken that they also cannot hear those who preach the good news. And we see that day after day, we see it, that this it's just a cruel world that we live in. It's just the human nature, you know, the always up one, or just to try to be the best or above, and don't mind stepping on you if I got to get to the top. They're just so cruel, so cruel. And as God had commanded them, Moses and his brother Aaron returned to Pharaoh over and over again, demanding that he let God's people go so that they may serve him in the wilderness. This whole account, this is what I'm going to end with. This whole account of God's redemption of Israel from Egypt has a spiritual parallel in our salvation from the kingdom of darkness, ruled by Hasatan, literally the adversary, in the kingdom of light. We are delivered from Hasatan through faith in Yeshua, the Passover lamb, not simply to walk away and do our own thing. We get in trouble that way. As he was for the Israelites, the purpose of our freedom is to serve the living God. And I'm going to read Colossians 1, 13 through 14. And I'm going to end with this scripture. Colossians 1, 13 through 14. I tell you what, let's start with verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. I thank God for the blood, for the redemption. That ultimate sacrifice that had to have been done is just so powerful and is so amazing. You know, that we, like it says, it's not simply to walk away and do our own thing. We can't do that. As it's the purpose of our freedom is to serve the living Elohim. Just like that song we sing, with his breath in our lungs, it's only you. Only you. And that's what he was trying to get them, the Egyptians, to, and Pharaoh, to, it's me. It's, y'all, I'm the only true God. I'm the great I am. How is it so hard for y'all to realize that? Stop giving honor and bowing down and paying tribute to Pharaoh. You're supposed to be serving me. And he's seen his people. His people was getting in that. They was drawn to that polytheism, it says. But hey, his grace. His grace was just all over this Torah. Even in the Brit Hadashah. I'm talking about he was just pouring grace in the Torah reading tonight. And that's what I got out of the Torah. Just his grace is so sufficient. So sufficient for us. And I just thank him. And I just give him all the praise and the glory and the honor. I thank him for tonight. I thank him for this opportunity that he's given. I thank him that, again, that he didn't step that far back from my life. That he stood close by me. And he knew. I mean, like, he knows everything. He knew one day, son, wait, son, you're gonna get it. You acting a little crazy right now. But I know. I see it. I see what you don't see. I know the plans that I have for you. Declares the Lord. He give me a future. My future is bright. Bright. And I thank him for it. And I thank y'all for coming out tonight and listening. I was excited about this. I really, really was. He's so good to us. So good to us. Anything? Nope. All right. Tomorrow?